You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. This is Luann, and I'm with my co-host
James Ridge.
Hello, James. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, everyone listening. I'm in a chipper mood today.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I'm chipper.
I'm chipper. I just feel like, you know, God's moving and things. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I feel his
I'm going to videotape you
love.
So that way, like the day you're upset, I'm going to click it on and say, watch this for a few minutes.
Praise God. So, okay, a couple of things I just want to, you know, talk about, share, is Pastor Tom will be here the last Friday. So for all those who are listening to At the King's Table, God's Table, the King, Jesus.
Amen.
At his table with Pastor Tom and James, we get a topic going and we talk about kingdom mindset. Oh, this whole show is about the kingdom mindset. And that's what we're hoping to share with people, to get in a different mindset, kingdom mindset. And also, I was sharing the last couple of weeks about Workforce Discipleship Center, which is something I'm very excited about. I've been asked by the president and CEO, Jerome Ryan, who started the Love Center, to come on board, and I'm excited about this. It's a wonderful thing for the community. It's out in Fort Pierce. It's for the working homeless, affordable rent, there's housing, and then there'll be some services that they offer, you know, outside services coming in to help teach and grow people spiritually, financially, in every area of their life. Because that's what God wants for all of us. It's kingdom. It's a kingdom mindset. It's helping people prioritize their life and get ahead. You know, maybe they just need that place to just settle in and then maybe save some money, learn some things, and you know, build a family, relationships with others, so that they can, you know, maybe go out as family, team, friends, and rent places. So I'm really excited about being a part of that, and I will constantly share on that. And I know, James, you've been doing something in Fort Pierce also. Fort Pierce is hot. The fire. All of the Treasure Coast. Wait a minute. I need to clear that up, because there are a lot, you know, and we were just talking about that. Having people, you know, David is our producer here, and he does Frontline. And it's a great program, and it's about, you know, what's going on in the community. People in the front line of what's going on in our community, and not only in the community, but all around. And I want to share that. That's on Mondays, and that's really a great program at 11. So we were talking about, you know, all these new ventures happening and God moving in so many different places with people, prayer rooms and you know, deliverance, and it's just wonderful to talk about. So we're very excited, and we want to share it with the listeners. So we're trying to find out how we can get this one on and that one on. So it's an exciting time here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Neat thing I thought was neat was I'd shared how the guy that was Baptist, and the Lord put on me to start talking to him, calling him, and we started talking about healing, and then I prayed for his granddad. I gave that testimony, and God healed that cancer off his ear. Amen. And I need to pray for that, and his neck and his shoulder, and I just prayed for his back, and his back was healed. And then I ended up getting them to pray after I prayed for a few people for a couple weeks. And so last week he they're praying for people. And then this week, because it's Monday night, was actually Wednesday this time, we had to go in this room. We couldn't go in the sanctuary because it's Wednesday. There's just like 10 of us in there, and his good friend was in there who hadn't seen him and kind of knows the Lord but has never heard of any healing or anything. So he's excited. I'm telling him all the testimonies. And there's a lady sitting there that's probably 65 or 70, and her knee was healed. It's like 20 years messed up. It was healed the week before, or that Wednesday. And so he's telling him for a while, and he's like, and he's just wanting to show her something, you know, and he's, because I'm thinking, he's where he was 9 weeks ago, the guy listening. He goes, man, I'm telling you, this was healed, that's healed, and God did this, and he's healed 10 people's eyes, reading without glasses, deaf ear. And then he looks over, and the lady's that knee was healed, she had glasses on, he goes, she's like 65 or 70. He says, how long you been had them glasses? Since I was 14. Good, you get to see. And he gets here. And I'm thinking, well, amen. I hope so. So he's been 100% so far.
Amen.
But and he prays. And then she can't make no words out. And then he prays maybe once or twice. And then she's reading the big word.
Praise God.
She can't read the rest of them. He's got that Bible with a real fine print that I didn't think anybody could read. Which I can read it now. After about 7 people are healed, I'm like, why am I not getting prayer? Because I can't read that thing. And I can read it after we prayed. But so then he prayed, and it's kind of, then he prays, says, see if you can read it now. And I can't, I was surprised he didn't catch it because I've been teaching him. I said, and she's like, no change. And there was changes the first 2 times. And I was like, do you remember the story where Kenneth Hagin prayed for the guy with tuberculosis of the spine? No, I don't remember. Remember? And finally, I wanted him to click so he would keep remembering. I said, see if you can bend over. Oh, man. I said, yeah, you did it twice just now. And that you didn't do it the first 2 times, but you did it twice. I said, pray and don't do that again. He prayed. He says, now read it. And then she could read.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's great, and it's important that we share God's glory with everyone that's hearing, because it's through his these testimonies. It's his testimony. They're really him in action, God in action, through his children, his people, and people's ears are open to hear the word, you know, and that's how we learn, by telling everyone what's going on. So it's important, and that's why even Kingdom Recovery and Coffee with Christ, we everything is based on the Word of God. So like 12-step programs, so the 12 steps, and even therapy, if you base everything on Scripture, it's perfect. It doesn't matter where you go if it's based on Scripture, right? You go to the there was a time when I was dealing with doctors, and I made it a point to base everything on Scriptures. And if we invite him in, schools, our communities, our home, our workplaces, everything, if we invite him in, then he's waiting for us. All of creation is waiting for us, and God's waiting for us to say yes to the calling, you know. And that's what we're talking about today. It's the 9th step is, we're finishing it up, actually. You want to say something?
I just want to say, because based on the Scripture, and I know I've read this on here a few times, but probably people listening that haven't heard, but because anywhere I go, I always give them, and even the new guys explaining, because he's in a Bible study, I said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:4, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then 4:19, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Amen.
And that's what separates us from all the other religions. If I can talk you into Christianity, someone can talk you out of it. It's
amen.
But
amen.
We are serving a living God that does miracles today, just like he always did. He's never stopped.
Amen. And that's why our lifestyle is the highest level of worship that we can give to God and other people around us. Like, you know, to let them see who God is in our life, you know.
And obedience.
Yes. Amen.
That's the best worship.
Yes, it is. So made a list of persons we have harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And we talked about that the spiritual fruit that grows through this, and it actually grows before we get to nine, but we get to bite in it and partake in discipline. And it's discipline is very close to disciple for a reason, I believe, because it takes discipline to be a true disciple of Jesus, you know, and we were just saying that, you know, and that's loving the Lord, fear of God. It takes discipline, honor, reverence to obey.
Maybe we should call it discipline ship.
Yeah, that's good, James. I like that.
That'll be our.
Yeah. We're going through discipline ship. Yeah. All right. So the fruit is discipline, and we actually have already started to grow that fruit before we get to a place where we now, because like we talked about last week, step four and five is making an inventory, you know, taking an inventory of your fears, your resentments, and your harms done, sex harms, which is in spiritual intimacy. It's intimacy. We were just doing it in the wrong way. But spiritual intimacy, we were using the flesh intimacy, abusing it, creating unhealthy relationships. You can't multiply if you're not healthy with another person. You know, you can't multiply in work if you can't get along with everybody. You can't multiply in your own home. I mean, spiritually is what I'm saying. It's like we did share. It's like spiritual intercourse. You know, you can look at it that way, where we plant the seed, like when the Holy Spirit went to Mary and he said, you'll receive the seed of Jesus in you. The Holy Spirit impregnated her. Praise the Lord. So we ended with a scripture, but before we ended with Matthew 5, 23, 26, and we're going to read it again. But before that, the scripture before that I had chose to read was Matthew 5, 9, which is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And the reason why I say that is because at this point, when we did 4 and 5, we should be at a point after sharing, confessing, and sharing the exact natures of our wrongs with another person, you know, first with God, ourselves, and another person, we start to see that we had patterns of our own stuff that was really getting in the way and causing the resentments, the fears, and the harms done to others. Even when we are truly harmed by another person, if I don't forgive, I've now entered the same table of that person that harmed me, because I'm in unforgiveness, and it's not healthy for me to be in unforgiveness. It's not healthy spiritually, mentally, or physically. And that's why we need to believe that God forgave me. He forgives. He gave me for forgiving to others. He gives us to give. Praise the Lord. And he gave us first. So he forgave first. When I truly remember, know that I'm forgiven, then this ninth step is not about the response from the other person. It's about the other person experiencing how God's working in your life. All right, because we're miracles. Every one of us are a miracle. Praise the Lord. So peacemakers bring goodwill, law and order, harmony with them, as Jesus did, even if others aren't receptive. So we're not going because if we're going because we want to be accepted and we want them to say, oh, it's okay, or if we respond, if they get upset, then we haven't gotten over whatever it is. We have to leave that at the altar, and we'll read that scripture after this. Receptive. There are thoughts of doubt and mistrust or confusion or disorder. If there are things like that from the other person, we don't have to feed into that. We can just pray for that other person, even if they respond in a negative way. But if we go there, if they doubt us and we're trying to prove ourselves, that's like fear of man. It wouldn't be helpful or healthy for us to be going into that, because they're doubting. Of course they have doubt. If they're in the flesh, if they're not, if they're doing the same thing we or already have done it, I guarantee 100%, I like saying that because God's word is true, they will love you back because they have the same Holy Spirit inside of them. All right. When people respond in a negative way, it's because they're believing a lie. And we have to pray for that person. We don't have to respond to that person. Okay. So we are makers of peace. Hallelujah. sons and daughters of God, made in his image, sent, because Jesus is a maker of peace. He creates peace wherever he goes, and he manifests it. So if Christ in me, the hope of glory, is in me, then I should be creating peace, or love, or patience, or tolerance, or forgiveness everywhere I go. Right?
Amen.
God made in his image, sent to building back bridges. We talked last week about building back bridges. Really what we're doing is putting down bridges. We always have a bridge, but it's up to us to keep it down. The other person might not want to cross over the bridge, but if your side is filled with the Holy Spirit and you're in and you're in agreement with God's word, then on your side of that bridge, it should be as it is in heaven on earth. There should be an aroma of peace, joy, forgiveness, love. People should, it should be attractive to them to want to come closer to you, because the Holy Spirit is drawing everyone into him. Hallelujah. So we want to keep our bridges down, even if the other person, it takes them forever to get over it. And then, or maybe we're the only person that has a bridge down one day in their life. You know, if they're not willing to come over, there may be more people in their life, and then they remember that that time we went to them and cleared the wreckage of our past with another person, with that person, and they'll say, well, maybe I can reach out to that person, you know? So that's what we want. We want to be available, like God's available for us all the time. So, James, you want to read? Oh, I'll read it. Matthew 5, 23, 26 says, you wanted to read, James, before we get into that.
That's what I was looking for. I was going to read, but I'll just say it.
Yeah, because we were talking before the show, and we were talking about peacemakers, and James brought up the scripture, and it's important that people understand the scripture.
Just I just brought up where it says, don't eat meat if it offends your brother, and I know so many Christians, because it says the one that can't eat meat is a weaker one. Like, if you have enough faith to eat meat, then... you're not the weaker one, but don't do it. Because if it offends him, thus you make him stumble, it says. So I've ran into a lot of Christians, if you try to bring that up, like, don't do something, you know, and there's a debate on whether a little alcohol is okay or not. Well, you can use that scripture too.
It's first. Because
if you drink and someone else thinks it's okay to drink and they have a problem, then you're making him stumble. So even for that, not to be seen drinking, I haven't drank since 1989 when God delivered me. But the point is, I do have a lot of people, when you share, you're trying to get them to love their brother and be concerned for their walk. Don't do anything that would hurt their feelings, even though you may not be saying it the wrong way. You may be, they're going to take something a wrong way.
Right. You have to,
and then they constantly like, well, that's their problem. I'm not doing that. And I'm like, that's pride, man. The Bible says, don't eat meat to offend your brother. If you think you got a right to, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't mean you can't eat meat. That's not what we're saying, right?
In front of someone that...
It's in a spiritual way, yeah.
Well, it's talking about physically eating meat in front of someone that don't believe it's okay.
But it's okay if you do, but when you have
just
someone
don't do it in front of him,
that's offended by him. Amen.
Because you can make him stumble. And with anything that applies, though.
That's right.
Not just to me. And so we really want to be our brother's caretakers.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm going to read the scripture.
Okay.
Because it's 1 Corinthians 8:13, but I'm going to start at 9. But be aware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. So you see, we have liberty in all things today. Because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, Jesus, and we know that he's already fulfilled the penalty for sin. He's fulfilled everything in the Old Testament for us. Okay, it says, for if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? And because of your knowledge, so you're the one that has the knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Amen. So that's more, so that's what James was sharing about. We have to be conscious, because even we sometimes, if there's aught, God says, if there's anything that's separating you from me with another person, you lay it down and you go take care of that. Because even if the other person, even if today, even if I'm right and it causes peace to say, I'm sorry, no matter, it's not about right and wrong for me today. And that's really, I think, where God wants all of us to be about. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I have to be reminded sometimes, you know, the Holy Spirit or maybe someone else like James saying, are you sure you don't have any offense there? You know, so we have to be, we have to do an inventory on our own self.
Yeah, and I there's a minister, I won't even say his name, he's worldwide known, but he had woke up one morning and the Lord said, meekness is the magnet that attracts my favor. He said, America has a justified sense of reconciliation. They think, well, I'm 20% wrong. I'll ask forgiveness for the 20% I was wrong. The other guy thinks he's 20% wrong, and they're 60% not getting met, so nobody's making up. And he said, I was 100% right, and I owned 100% of your wrong. And I'm asking those that will stretch their 20 to 80 to make it, to make the reconciliation, will receive my favor in this time. Because I don't care about your arguments. I care about reconciliation.
Amen. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's exactly what we were saying about Jesus did it for us. He stepped in innocent, and he stepped in and forgive them, Father. We have to do the same. We're his image and likeness. We need to be stepping in, whether we're right or wrong, and making amends, bringing things back, not only back, but even better, to its original condition. God wants us back into the garden with him. He wants all creation. So, and if we're not attractive, I have to remember the kingdom of heaven is, the kingdom of God is wherever I go. So if my bridge is up, the kingdom of God is for everybody. I can't limit it, because then I'm not representing the kingdom of God properly. So I have, by every cost of whatever it feels like to me, of my flesh, mm-hmm. I have to keep that bridge down and get over myself. Okay.
And you know, Jesus washed feet, and he told us to wash feet. Amen. Of course, everybody wants to throw that out like we're better than him. I guess we don't mm-hmm. need to do that. But if that was actually taking places more,
right,
that really brings bridges down. Amen. When you're washing the person's feet that you're judging, you think you're so much better than, then you're washing their feet, it really, and the Holy Spirit just moves, and that's the strongest I ever felt him move, is washing someone's feet. Yeah.
And we've done that in Kingdom Recovery.
Amen.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Okay, so Matthew 5:23-26 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you. So it's not even something you've done. Right? And we should know that, because we, and something against you, it could be doubt, unforgiveness. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary. So that tells me who is taking you to court. So that tells me your adversary is not the person. The adversary is the demonic spirits of the devil, is demons, and it's what? Jealousy, envy, pride. Those are that's the adversary. So, and it's bringing you
bitterness,
right? Mm-hmm. Unforgiveness, bringing you to court to be judged by, because it's your conscience that really has to be judged.
Because it says we battle not against flesh and blood.
That's right. So do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary, the dispute, the conflict, the enemy, in your head, right, may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. So the word tells us to reconcile. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation, Jesus, to be united with others, with believers and even non-believers, we have to be merciful and patient and tolerate because God loves everybody. He died for all of us. Non-believers have all the promises. They just don't know it. But they were done. God died for them too. Jesus died. God sent his only beloved son for them also. So we have to be able, they have to be able to be approachable. We have to be able to be approachable to those people because they're the really lost. You know, and that's the ones that need God the most. So if we say, oh, you know, you're not, we want to go into sometimes arenas, like, what was I saying? So this is what I was saying. I just thank you. I had an experience with my son recently, and it was a miracle. It was an outright miracle. It was such a miracle that non-believers were like, what just happened? Nobody was prepared. It's not even in the law books. There's like nothing you could write to it, right? They had like, they were just in awe, and it was God. You know, but
amen.
That's the moments. Like even when the non-believer is like, that's a miracle. That's the time when we need to say glory to God.
Amen.
You know, so it tells us that we have the reconciliation. The when the Holy Spirit's in me, it desires. Holy Spirit, he desires. The power is the it of who he is. He has the power, and he gives it to me when I allow him. When I agree with the word to operate through me. And it's that power that has a desire to reconcile things unto himself, unto Jesus. So if I give him full access, my heart should want to reconcile people to Jesus, right? Compassionate to others, people, even when they're angry towards us, we have to see what God sees. I was angry and he loved me. So now if I allow him to show me who he is and what there was sorrow. He sorrows for the loss, for the suffering. And he'll show us his heart. He'll show us how he desires that person. Praise the Lord. And it changes us, our position. It changes our sight, our spiritual sight, our ears, even in the natural. Because once you get spiritually transformed, everything in the natural starts to transform. And that's the true revelation. That's the, I love God with all my heart, my soul, my spirit, my mind, my strength. So we want to be compassionate to even towards angry people, towards people who are doing evil, wrong things. And we need to turn the other cheek sometimes and be the person that gets smacked so that they don't hurt someone else. Because we don't have to get offended or hurt. You know? And say we can say when we turn the other cheek, we say we're sorry to that person, even if we're not wrong. It's better to be in love than to be in hate, anger, resentment. Praise the Lord, and be right with God. When we're in love, we're in the right with God. We're living. Live with God. Live with love. Be with love all the time. God is love. So yes, there is a new covenant. It's between God and his people, believers. Love your enemies. Sorry, everybody listening. That's the covenant. It's to love your enemies. How do we do it? Well, I'm glad you're all thinking that and asked, because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to please God. And he wants us to love our enemies because he gave us the love to be able to love the unlovable.
Amen. In Romans 13:8, when you walk in love, you fulfill the law.
Amen. Amen. And sometimes I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because in the flesh, I want to do everything I want to do. When I get into my head thinking, and I have to say, Father, show me how to love in this situation. And sometimes it's walk away. Sometimes it's do something nice, say something nice, you know, and you just... And then he always makes a way. He'll never leave us there without giving us a way out, because God doesn't cause us to sin.
And when you're manifesting, which like when you're real upset, you're manifesting. Sorry if you don't know that, but when you are manifesting, and you start trying to figure out in your mind what you should say, you are totally in the enemy's hands.
That's right.
And you will know it after you're finally over it. It might be 2 weeks later or something, or a month later. You're like, well, I guess I shouldn't have said that. It seemed good. It seemed right at the time. So I'm aware of that. If I'm feeling something, because what goes on their ship shouldn't affect what goes on our ship. You can be so free that no matter what they do, you don't feel it. And I've been in them places, but I don't seem to maintain it. I don't respond. I won't let it sin come through me. But, you know, I might be emotionally upset. And I know, though, whatever I'm thinking, that even though it feels like, okay, this seems like the right thing, I'm really careful. I try not to do anything till I feel the freedom.
Peace.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. That's right.
The enemy just has you there and you don't even know it.
It's the truth. And, you know, it's so subtle. It could just be in a decision that has to be made. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't sense the peace, it's the peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's what I wait for. And then if I don't have it, and that's the yielding in my life. And I hope this helps somebody, because sometimes you just do nothing until you sense the peace that you know. There's a peace that comes over inside of you. It's God, you know. Just that's the way to go, you know. And I try not to make a decision when I don't feel peace, or, you know, I'm uncomfortable, or, you know. And sometimes I've made a decision, like you're saying, and then that the unsettling comes in, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And all he's doing, that's a love tap. I love that, because he's so close to you when you can get that, even if it feels like an condemnation. When people, you know, I allowed the enemy to tell me it was condemnation. It's actually the Holy Spirit getting my attention, like, you need to tweak that, change that about, you know, maybe the way you say that, maybe the way you roll your eyes, you know, at a meeting in the past, you know?
Yeah,
And I would think, like, you know, like, oh, because maybe somebody said it to me, you know? And then I would, who does that person think they are? But it's really a gift if you turn it towards God.
I had an irrigation business 30 years. It was about 25 years at the time. And I had a friend of mine, and I decided to go. He was wanting me to come go in with him. He owned a cabinet business, very successful. And I was selling my business. Actually, almost giving away. I was just selling everything I had and the name. And man, I just had an anxiety that was, I knew it shouldn't be there, because I wasn't fretting it. I was happy. Then I couldn't sleep. And the next morning I don't think I slept. The next morning I was like, because I was supposed to do it that day. So I called the guys. I prayed before I called. I said, Lord, I'm going to call this guy and tell him I want to hold off. And if your peace comes, I'll call the other guy and tell him I'm not going to business. And I called him. And the minute I hung up, it was gone. It was strong. And I called the other guy. And then he ended up moving like 5 months later, just closing everything down.
Amen.
So I would have been stuck.
Amen. Amen. So discipline, like we were talking about, is a fruit, but it's necessary in order to do this. We have to be very disciplined, because you can't just run out and start apologizing to everybody, because you can hurt other people. You know,
yeah, if they don't know you're upset, don't apologize to them.
You know, just like, you have to really, yeah, repent. There's other ways to make amends without running around with your sword swinging it all.
And if you do repent, don't say, I'm sorry, I wouldn't have done that if you wouldn't have done this.
Yeah, you never apologize with an excuse. And then it's not, right. You know, you just say, I am sorry for judging, whatever it is that you did, and you leave it there.
And don't expect anything in return. I have one lady who's going to repent to her mom. I told her like 10 times, don't expect her to repent. I don't. Then she called me afterwards. And immediately, she's like, I can't believe she didn't repent. I said, I told you like 10 times. She went, yeah, but I just thought she would. I was like, no, she's not going to.
No, you never go with an expectation of, I shouldn't say that. We always go with an expectation of what God's going to do, but we never depend on how they're going to respond. We don't do it for their response. We do it to please God.
And reconciliation's what we want. So even if they let you own it, it kind of hurts sometimes, yeah. A little rejection manifest, but it's right to own it because you're making reconciliation.
Amen.
You just
Amen.
Made a friend.
That's right. Hallelujah. So so the principle of discipline, we've already developed. We can't pick a fruit if we don't have it to eat, to partake in. And we can't, that same fruit is what we want to share with another. It's through your discipline and your obedience to God and your humility, humbleness, to be able to turn the other cheek, to give the cloak, to say I'm sorry, even if it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what it looks like. The Bible said it.
Amen.
Jesus said it.
Fruit of the Spirit.
The song we're singing at church. Jesus said it. Woo! Jesus said it.
So, God gives us gifts, and they're awesome.
Yes.
But the fruit, man, we got to grow that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, we do.
Long-suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's the next step.
Okay.
But you see how you need this? They all come in to each other, you know?
Yeah.
Endurance, basically, right? So we're going on these little things here. Okay, so the amends, it's making things better, right, is forgiveness in this. That's the process. If I didn't receive God's forgiveness in step 4 and 5 and then change 6 and 7, right,
mm-hmm.
then I can't give forgiveness if I haven't received forgiveness. I can't give love if I haven't received God's love. Now, I can give the same kind of love that I'm receiving if it's, you know, worldly love or worldly, you know, forgiveness. It's temporary. It's conditional. And that's not the kind of forgiveness and love and peace we want to give to another person or into the world, place or thing. So we want to create harmony. Peace is harmony with law and order, with the kingdom of God, his law and order, his word, in our relationships with others, and with the world. We can start to look the world in the eye. We can start to look Jesus in the eye. Hallelujah. So both forgiveness and peace are strong values of God in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Hallelujah. And then there's a story in 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14. I think it's a good story. So I always say the steps that it's really talking about with Nathan and the prophet and King David is 4 and 5. Like King David had to come to himself. Oh my gosh, I did this. And then confess it in order to come out, right? So,
yes.
So and then it's also making an amends. So I'm going to read it. It's a
and
little.
Just say David confessed to the Lord where Saul asked the prophet to pray for him.
Yeah. So, but I'm going to read this scripture. It's 2 Samuel 12, 1, 14. It's a little long, but I think it's a good story, and it's a lot of what we're talking about. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other one poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe, lamb, he had bought. He raised it, and he grew it up with him and his children, so he had a relationship. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb 4 times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all Israel and Judah. And if all that had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise? Hate is despise. I put that there. The word of the Lord by doing what is evil, and I put wicked, in his eyes. You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised, hated me, and took the wife of Uriah, the Hittite, to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Out of your own household, I am going to bring calamity, and that's unlawfulness, chaos, no peace on you. Before your very eyes, I will take your wives and give them to one who is close to you, and he will sleep with your wife in broad daylight. You did it in secret, and that's in sin, secret. But I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel. Then David said to Nathan, and this is the he finally, you know, he realized he had to come to himself, which we all need to have that Jesus moment. I have sinned against the Lord, and that's the amends to God right there. That's the confession, the repenting. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. Hallelujah. So, and this is Old Testament, you know. Mm-hmm. You are not going to die. But because you, by doing this, you have shown utter contempt, which is disrespect for the Lord, the son born to you will die. And it will be, and I put in parentheses, be your offering, amends to restore your favor, the ability to do God's will and relationship with God. And that's Jesus died for us. Hallelujah. So, you know, guilty of taking God's favor, gifts, goodness. It's like you said, he gives us such good gifts and talents, and the fruit. You know, not growing the fruit, not watering the fruit. He grows it, but we need to water it by being obedient, by being in his word, being in relationship. That's how things grow, through relationship. If I plant the seed and walk away, I need a relationship with that seed. If I invest money and walk away, I need a relationship. If I get married and walk away, I need to build a relationship. If I say I'm born again and receive Jesus Christ in my heart as Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in me, I need to build a relationship. That's as close as you get. He's inside of us. You can't get any closer to somebody than that. It's amazing.
What scripture are you on?
Oh, I was I read 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14. So, and then this is my own thing. Guilty of taking God's favor, guilt. This is like with the story, favor from God himself and of others, and abusing them and misusing. This is what we've done our whole lives before we gave ourselves to God. And this is the old man mentality that haunts us if we don't get in line, in agreement with God's word, and allow the transformation to start manifesting in our thinking, in our words, in our actions. See, that's what this whole thing is about. Otherwise, we're still going to look like the old. And it's and then how are we representing the kingdom of God? If I'm still doing these things, misusing the gifts, abusing the gifts, and for myself, my own pleasure.
Yeah. Oh.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to read a little bit of that scripture, just mm-hmm. break it down a little bit. It says, and Nathan said unto David, the Lord has put away thy sin. You shall not die, because he was supposed to die.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That was the punishment in the Old Testament for committing adultery. Howbeit, because of this deed, ye have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. So the enemy was still seeking David's life. The enemy really wanted David's life. That's why he tempted him to do this. Mm-hmm. So when he said, they will lie with your wife in broad daylight, that was Absalom, and he came in and he took him up on the roof, all of David's wives, and slept with him in front of all Israel.
Mm-hmm. And you know, when it says you will die, it's that spiritual death that if we don't confess and you know, come in front of the Lord, that we spiritually die. You know, even though we're born again, we're living a spiritually dead life. That's not what God wants for us here. Mm-hmm. So it's just metaphor for that. That's how it was really. But Jesus took it all for us. We don't have to live that way. You know, if we just recognize that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior and repent and recognize that we are sinners and that we want to be whole through Christ, our Lord and Savior, and redeemed and reconciled with God. Hallelujah. So God is a God of judging the word and truth in man's heart. We can't get away from it. Even in eternity, we got to stand in front of him. What did we do here with his wisdom, with his word? He gave us everything we need here. I could have missed it. I think about it all the time. I could have missed this opportunity to get to know God. He was always around me. I was just so stuck in myself, mm-hmm. you know, in my world and everything I was doing. And then and I can get there if I don't recognize he's with me all the time. It's my responsibility in that relationship to recognize God mm-hmm. is with me all the time. It's not, he's always there. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I have to know that. And that's when you get that wisdom and that understanding that true relationships can, that's a good foundation, that's what builds up upon those things, those revelations, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he what he judges, and when we feel convicted, it's really the word that's convicting. We hear truth and we're like, because we're living a lie. We believe a lie. We want to believe the lie, or we want to continue to deceive ourselves and other people. So the only time I get offended is when I'm off-tilted, off-ended. Okay? Okay?
There's another one. That's pretty good.
Like, chilling, ling, ling. We got another one going.
Yeah, discipline, ship, and off-ended.
Off-ended. Okay, so whether we have a relationship with him or not, we're all being judged by truth, and we're all being judged by the word. Because the word is truth, and even whether you know him or not, and you hear truth, it lines up with the word, because that's truth lines up with the word, and somebody gets upset, somebody, you know, even myself. So, and then I have to say, oh Lord, get scripture. If I'm feeling upset about something, right, I get scripture on it, and sometimes it's unbelief. Ah, can't happen. I got to get scripture. You know, help me with my unbelief, Lord. That's a simple prayer.
You know, the law works just like gravity works, whether you know the Lord or not.
That's
so
right.
Spiritual laws.
That's right.
It's just like that lady that was healed of osteoporosis that mm-hmm. couldn't hardly walk. When she started getting out of envy, she didn't even know the Lord yet. She accepted the Lord after she was healed. But when she got out of envy, the osteoporosis
Amen.
Left.
Amen. And that's why when people say, oh, they don't even know God, or, you know, and they're successful. You line up with the kingdom of heaven, and he pours, he reigns on dry land too. You know, it's just the way, it's the way he, it's a spiritual law.
And the enemy will bless you, and the enemy will just try to keep you busy that you never know the Lord. So mm-hmm. it says don't, the little that a righteous man
Well, he's
has,
really not blessing you. It looks like blessings, but it's a curse because you're never going to know the Lord.
Right. Yeah. It says the little that a righteous man has is far greater than the riches of many wicked. Proverb.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So only through the baptism of the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, it's spirit and truth. So spirit and truth, that's Jesus is the truth, the word, and Christ is spirit in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's the Holy Spirit that we receive when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's such a beautiful way God did things for us, you know, spirit, soul, and body, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I mean, he created everything in his image and likeness. I mean, even a seed of a tree, if you look at it, it looks like a baby, you know, like, it's just amazing when you look at how he created everything in such a beautiful way that mimics. So we receive the Holy Spirit, and we can be granted forgiveness, grace. Now, he's already poured it out for everyone, but I can partake in it now when I receive the Holy Spirit, when I accept Jesus Christ. So it's always been there. It's like a gift box that I never open. It's always been there. If I never open it, I don't know what's inside. So become aware awake your knowledge and understanding. We got to be awakened in our understanding and knowledge of who God is by rooting. And that's where the 10th step comes out. We have to root out, pull out that sin and that, and in our minds, it's our minds that trip us up. It's the mind where the enemy can come in. The enemy doesn't want us to be transformed and renewed in the mind, because then he loses. What is it? What's that song? Devil lost another one. I am free. I'm full of songs that I am free. I am free. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what it is. So I don't even know if I make sense today. I just know that I feel full of joy.
That's good.
It's fun. So we need to take responsibility, becoming accountable by cutting out those thoughts, those ungodly thoughts, those ungodly words out of our mouth, those ungodly actions that we're, you know, that we find ourselves doing over and over again. We need to get into the Word and find out what God says about this stuff, you know? What else do I have? I wrote here, in our, my life, my breath, and who I am. Selfish life is ism. I, self, and me. And I live my whole life like that. And sometimes the isms want to come around, right? Or selfless life, and that's GSO. I did a whole study on this thing. This is why I'm excited about this part, because this is a GSO is a real military position. But when I was doing this, I looked up what GSO is, and I'll share it. But it's really, I put a general, God's service officer. Woo! It's God's service and or God's self and others. So good. So responsibilities of a GSO in the United States military, and we're going to, and just think, we're saying this is what it is in the United States, but everything's a type and shadow, because in the military of God, God's kingdom, in his design of what military should look like, government should look like, it's the mission of a GSO, and I wrote God's spirit officer, God spiritual officer, right? Service officer, because the Holy Spirit services us so that we can service God. In the U.S., so is a diplomat, and I put believer. This is what it really is. It's a diplomat in the natural, a believer in the spiritual. In the foreign service is to promote peace, support prosperity. Oh, isn't it good? And protect Americans. And I wrote Kingdom of Heaven citizens of God, while advancing the interest of the U.S., of the Kingdom of God abroad, wherever we go. We bring the kingdom, and that's the whole purpose of our existence, is to expand the kingdom of God. So we need to know what the kingdom of heaven is like, so we can do that. So the general service officer, the GSO, are responsible for a broad range of functionings, including the management of physical resources and logistics at U.S. government, diplomatic and post worldwide and in the United States. GSO develop, plan, implement, and manage ongoing support programs, including contracting warehouses and inventory of property, supply, shipping. This is what we should be doing for the kingdom of God here. We should be infiltrating warehouses, all for the kingdom of God. You know, housing, travel, VIP, visitors, supporting visitors. And that means housing VIPs that come. God talks about this all in the Bible. We're supposed to take in the leaders, and when they're coming in to minister and pastor in our hometowns. Hallelujah. At some location, GSO are responsible for physical facilities and space management. So our willingness in step 8, brotherly love, allows God to prune us in step 9 through discipline for discipleship. Hallelujah. So we can see more accurately around us what needs to be pruned in us. Hallelujah. And around us. This gives us the ability, the favor, to be by God for His will, purpose, and plans, to love others through us, and changes our perception of God's self and others to God's views. As it is in heaven, as it is God's nature to love and serve, let it be ours. Hallelujah, right? So we look the world in the eye face to face. This will help us endure, persevere, long suffer in step 10. So we're starting to grow some fruit now if we do this properly.
Praise
right?
God.
Whatever suffering that may come our way in life, we need to stand, adjust our life to meet the need that God needs us to make. We have to adjust things so that God can use us. So we have to join God, not God, you know, how can I, it's like, okay, what do I need to do to be used?
Yeah, it says you're blessed when you suffer for righteousness' sake. It says, what reward do you receive if you being punished for evil you've done, but when you've done good and you get punished, then you need to rejoice.
Amen.
For great is your reward in heaven.
Amen. So 12-step journey with Christ is rescues, steps 1 through 3, restores, steps 4 through 9, and reigns, steps 10 through 12. This is really important stuff, so I hope it spoke to people today. And I really, if you need any information, you could always call me, 631-745-7980. You can call me for anything that I discuss here. Someone had asked me for the principles and virtues and the 12 steps. I can always text you it. So I just want to end with prayer on that note and just let everyone know again that you're listening to Kingdom Recovery. And I'm Luann, and you're with James, yeah.
This is WCNO.
WCNO. And just blessings to everyone. May your ears be open and your hearts be open to whatever God has for you during the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
We praise you. You are so worthy, Lord. Lord, you're worthy. You're so worthy. Lord, you